Morning, our president has asked for our nation to pray. Now, this is not a political endorsement, but can I say this? I'm thankful for a president that calls upon the nation to pray. I don't care what political party they are. Any president that goes, hey, we need God in this, I like that. So, yeah. So we appreciate that. Also, I want to thank the Lord. I don't know if you had read or heard, but our president, through the course of his day-to-day business, had engaged and been in the close proximity with others who are currently infected with the coronavirus. And late yesterday afternoon, the test came back, and our president has been kept clear of the coronavirus. We thank God for that during this time. So what we're going to do is we always stop down here to pray, but we're going to engage us in a little deeper manner. So what I'm going to ask, I'm going to invite you to do this, is I'm going to invite Josh and Jeff and our deacons to come and just to pray along the pews here. I'm going to open the altar. We don't do this very often, but I'm going to open it. And what that means is if you feel comfortable, you feel led, you can come up and pray. You can kneel anywhere you are. You can just sit where you are. The Lord doesn't honor the posture. He honors the heart. And we're just going to focus our mind's attention and our heart's affection, and we're going to pray as our president has called us to do, all right? So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's pray together. For those of you at home, I encourage you to find a place, and if you're physically able, to take a knee and pray. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you for what this day is not. Father, we look into our world, and this affliction is severe in other parts of our world. But Lord, in our country this morning, Lord, it's not what it is in other places. And Father, we give you thanks for that. Father, we give you thanks for the men and the women. Father, for the political leaders, the medical leaders, for all who are giving us wisdom and guidance in how to be proactive in lessening the effects of this coronavirus. Father, we thank you for all who are listening to the call to be cautious. But Father, this morning I speak against the fear that clutches the hearts of many. Father, you have not been taken surprised by this. Father, you are not fearful of this. And Father, as your children, you call us not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. And Father, today we lean into that faith. Lord, we admit it is an unnerving thing to walk into the grocery store and to see entire shelves empty of what typically is full. But Father, let us not live in fear, but walk in faith. Father, I pray today for China. Father, I pray for the Wuhan city and the province, Lord, where this originated. God, I pray that you would take care of and heal and provide for those people. Father, I pray for the nation of Italy, Lord, who have been touched so severely. I pray, Lord, that a healing hand would fall over that nation. Father, I pray for all the nations of our globe who are dealing with this. Father, we pray that we would see your protective hand. We pray that we would see your provisional hand. Father, we pray that we would see your powerful hand. Father, I ask today that you would help us, your church, to be the church in these days. Father, as we walk in faith and not in fear. Father, as we reach out in love. Father, as we have more time on our hands than we've had perhaps in years, that we might invest that time into things of productiveness. Lord, building relationships, mending fences. Lord, loving and serving and giving. Father, we pray that these would be great days of love and sacrifice. Father, we thank you for your protection over Hunt County. Father, I ask unashamedly that you might keep us virus free. Father, we pray for the doctors, the nurses, and all who are serving our community and in the hospitals across our nation. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for their years of faithfulness. We thank you for their years of training. Father, we thank you for their patience, for when we are bad patients. Father, we thank you that we have them. Father, we pray for the medical institutions who are seeking for a virus antidote even this morning. Father, we pray for wisdom and guidance. Father, we pray that you would bless us. Father, we pray that we would lean into you. Father, we pray that your church would not be shaken, that we would be emboldened by the fact that our God knows everything, and our God never takes a day off, and our God is able to deliver us. Father, it's in the risen Savior's name, Christ the Lord, we pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we are continuing our discussion on stewardship. You know, if I was really a wisecracker, I'd say, look how the stewardship messages are thinning us out. But I won't say that. I won't say that. But we're continuing. Thank you, Ronnie. We're continuing our discussion on stewardship. And today, we're looking at the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. Now, who here likes corn? Yes. Who here doesn't like corn? I'll pray for you. Can I just say this right now? I would eat all of that. I like corn so much. I don't know if you know this, but at Rib Crib, they've shuffled their menu in a good degree. And now everything that you order at Rib Crib comes with corn as a garnish. I'm going to be honest with you. Last week, my bride and I were out. We were ministering together, and we decided we were going to go eat. And I went to Rib Crib for the corn. I ordered everything else to get to that. And I asked the lady about, hey, can I just order this? She goes, yeah, you could just get this. I'm like, oh, okay, now we're going to have a whole different ordering menu. But let me also say this. In the pursuit of the corn, my bride and I also met a wonderful individual at Rib Crib and kind of struck up a friendship. And so I got corn and I got to meet a new friend and it was a good evening. So with that in mind, let's talk about corn. Now, Jeff, I'm about to do some math, so this is risky. Now, I want you to think about this. If you had one kernel, not one ear, not one can, a singular kernel of corn. You say, well, what would I have with that? Some would say I wouldn't have much. But my friends, I would propose to you that you would actually have quite a lot. If you had one single kernel of corn in your pocket, let me show you what could transpire. One kernel of corn, if planted and tended, will produce a stalk of corn. The average stalk produces 2 ears of corn, right? That's simple math, right? One, it's two. Now it's where here it starts to get shaky. The average number of kernels on a corn cob is 800. So if you have 2 ears with 800, watch out, that's 1,600, right? So now you've got 1,600 kernels of corn from that one, Ronnie. Now, if you were to take all of those kernels and plant them and sow them, surrender them and sow them, they would produce 3,200 stalks of corn, which on average will produce 2 ears, which would produce 2,560,000 more kernels of corn from how many did you start with? One. If you take these and plant them, they will produce for you 1,280,000 ears of corn. I can't eat that much. From one kernel, you can get to this. Now, I don't know about you, but given what the stock market's done, you might want to invest in this math. I say that to say this. The power of one who has surrendered and sown is limitless. We ask ourselves in the world, what can one person do? Well, my friends, like one kernel of corn, when it's properly surrendered and it's properly sown, it is limitless in what it can produce. Stewardship is that. So let's look today. Our focus passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Let's read that together. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service will be your, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying, well, look at that, I'm so good, I put that in there twice. Because of the service by which you have provided yourselves, others will praise God for their obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. So we're going to look at the principles of God's harvest law. Now, there are certain things in life that we call them laws because this is just the way they work. This is just the way they work. It's like the law of gravity. I may think I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. But the law of gravity says, no, sir. So let's look at the law. Let's look at the principle of investment. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Here's the law. If you don't sow, you can't reap. Amen? If you don't put in, you can't get out. Now, you can look at a field and you could wish you to produce corn. You can have a bag of corn and wish the field would produce corn, but if you don't sow, you can't reap. It's the law of the harvest. People today, if we're not careful, we want to reap a bountiful harvest, but we're not willing to put in the time, the money, the effort, right? How many people want a 5-star marriage, but they're only putting in 1-star effort, right? Come on, right? Some people want a 5-star career, but they're only putting in a 1/2-star effort. Listen, the law applies across the board. If you don't sow, you can't reap. We cannot simply store up all that we have harvested now. Not only can we get the best out of giving the least, but we also can't fall prey to the getting all you can, canning all you get, and sitting on the can. We have to be very careful that we don't find ourselves clutching that which God has given us. Now, let's remember, let's go back, let's do a refresher. Everything we have comes from God. It's an entrustment. We don't own it. We don't own anything. We have a responsibility. We have an entrustment, but we can't simply store up. Look what Luke tells us. Jesus replied, man who appointed me judge over arbiter between you. Then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He sowed and he reaped. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Andrew Carnegie, who at one time was the wealthiest man in the world, says this, millionaires who laugh are rare. Now, don't hear me say that we shouldn't save. Don't hear me say that we can't have nicer things. Don't hear me say that. But what Jesus is saying is this, is it's our attitude towards God. It's an attitude towards what God has entrusted us that we're held accountable for, right? And so this gentleman fell victim to the idea of I need to hold on to everything that God has placed in my hands. Not only can we reap if we sow, but we'll reap what we sow. This is the principle of identity. If you plant an apple tree, you will not get a plum tree. It's just not the way it works. You get what you sow. The old, the golden rule? Do unto others what? As you'd have them do unto you, right? So when we reap in joy, guess what? We can have joy come back to us. Now, is everyone joyful in your world? Probably not. Is everyone kind in your world? Probably not. Does everyone appreciate what you sow into their lives? Probably not. But we do it as unto the Lord, amen? We don't do it for just what humans give to us. We do it as unto the Lord. But what I do know is true is this, is if you sow joy, you will see a harvest of joy. If you are the type of person that they love to see it when you walk in the door, you're going to reap joy. You can reap thankfulness. If you're a thankful person, even in days like today, I thank God for what it's not. Amen? I have people sometimes say, Jimmy, that's just so flippant. You're cheating the odds for God, see? God can never lose if you pray that way. Listen to me. I don't know where we are, and I don't know where we're going, but this is what I do know. It could be worse, and I thank God for what it's not. I'm going to trust Him for what it will be, but I'm going to thank Him for what it's not. So when we sow, we can reap thankfulness. We can reap kindness. It doesn't cost us a dime to be kind. Kindness will freak people out. They're just not used to it. Generosity. When we are generous, and immediately we think of money, that's part of it sometimes. But we could be generous in a whole lot of things, right? Our time, our talents, our treasures. I mean, there's a lot of ways to be generous that doesn't necessarily include finances. Helpfulness. Man, when you help someone, don't you feel good about that? Doesn't it just make your day better? And it gives you hope. You know what it gives you hope is when you are a helpful person, you have a hope that one day if you need help, guess what? Someone might be there to help you. And when we practice the principle of identity, it builds our faith. As we invest and as we give and the Lord returns to us, it grows our faith. Let's look at what Galatians 6:8 tells us. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. When we sow into the Lord's promises, it always yields a return. Now let's look at the principle of the increase. I believe this is one of the most sometimes misrepresented portions of this particular teaching. God is not an investment banker. If you give 10 bucks today, He's not going to give you 20 bucks tomorrow. That's not necessary. But we hear that a lot, right? Now, nothing that we sow into the Lord is wasted. Let's say nothing together, shall we? Nothing. Have you ever done something and you thought, well, that was a waste of time? Yep. So I got around to mowing my lawn. Yes, I have a neighbor who never said anything, but in my mind was man-shaming me. I'm not going to call his initials John Reeves. And so Monday, I got up and I did the man thing, and I go out and I get this front lawn. The back lawn's not cut yet. I'm going to need a machete and probably a crew of about three because it holds water back there. But I got out and I did the flower beds and all those things, yes? Mow it, weed eat it, flower beds, roses. Those roses are healthy. And in my mind, all I could hear was, every rose has its thorn. Don't judge me. And you know what? You know what I saw Wednesday morning when I come out of my house? You know what I saw? Dandelions. Less than 48 hours later, they're back. And I thought to myself, well, that was a waste of time. So anyway, but with God's economy, what you sow into God, what righteousness you give unto God, will never go to waste. Now, you may not get to see the fruits of it, because God may have another plan. But God never wastes his stuff. God never wastes his stuff. One of the ways you can know if you're walking in the will of the Lord is God doesn't bless disobedience. He doesn't waste his stuff. God will always, always, always do good with what you entrust him. In God's economy, if we're faithful, he will always provide an increase. Now, what that looks like, well, that's up to the Lord. Well, will we be blessed monetarily? Well, maybe. But the increase will always be of the Lord, for the Lord, by the Lord, but there will always be an increase. Look what 2 Corinthians 9 says. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seeds and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. If you will sow by faith into righteousness, God will increase your harvest. God will give you a greater influence. If you want to influence people for Christ, invest into God's fields, and he will give you an increase. Let me just say, that right there is tasting great this morning. Let's look at the principle of the increased. Did you know the Bible has 70 verses that speak about harvest? And I feel compelled of the Lord to read you all 70. I got one says, come on, I'm here all day. Yeah, hey, Brian, no cowboys today, chief. Let's look. I'm not going to read all 70. Although I did provide a link. If you would like to go read all 70, you may obviously do that. The provider, which is God, if we're faithful, is responsible for the increase. Can I be perfectly truthful with you? One of the things I wrestle with some regularity, is this. God, am I really making a difference? Now, you may be sitting there and you're going, oh, Jimmy, you're just... No, I'm just trying to be authentic with you. Because you sometimes you're like, Lord, am I really making a difference? Because the increase doesn't always come as quick as you want it. The increase doesn't always come in the form that you want it. See, one of the challenges of being a pastor is all of our work is in process. You are our work. You're the bread that we're needing. You're the pizza crust that we're spinning. You! And you're in process. And sometimes as a pastor or a spiritual leader, you're like, Lord, am I really making a difference? Not in a braggadocio, not in a come by, oh, Jimmy, you're so great. But sometimes we don't see things the way that God sees them. Because God sees everything at one time. And we're seeing it clip by clip by clip. And one of the things that I have to remind myself, I'm actually writing an article right now for publication, is this. One of the things I have to regularly remind myself is this. God calls me to be faithful. The increase is his job. Now, that's hard on me. You know why? Because I'm a man. and I like to produce stuff. I want my hands on the plow. Johnny's back here. He's shaking. You know, you're right, brother? Man, at the end of the day, I want to show you something. Not walk out of my house on Wednesday morning just to see weeds back where I sweated to knock them down. Brothers and sisters, this is God's promise to us, is if we are faithful, He will provide the increase. If we are faithful, He will not waste your faithfulness. He will not waste your gifts. He will not waste what you have surrendered to Him. God's in charge of the increase, and He promises He will. Let's look at the principle of the interval. Now, this is a difficult one here. There's a season for different labors. Now, let me preface this. The day you get to stop laboring in God's field is called your funeral. Now, I've heard it said by good-intended people, you know, they say, well, you know, I've done my time. Nowhere in the Scripture do I see that. Well, you know, I've been doing this 30 years. Nowhere in Scripture do I see a retirement program in the church. So we need to be very careful. That being said, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there's a time for everything and a season for what? Every activity under heaven. So let's look. The differing labors. First, there has to be preparation. Preparation is 9/10 the key of success, right? If you don't prepare, you're preparing for failure, right? You know, it's like when you go to the mow the lawn and you didn't know, hey, we might be out of gas. Or how about this one? This is always a fun one, right? When you go to Weed Eat and you've got like 2 inches of Weed Eater line in there. Yeah, you know, those things, right? Because you don't prepare, right? Listen, I don't know if you know this. Brian, I don't know if you know this, but I'm an Eagle Scout. Don't know if you know this. And the motto is be prepared. You want to think ahead, prepare. Preparing is important. And for us, if we're going to sow into God's fields, this is a part of your preparation right here. Being in the house of the Lord, being with the people of the Lord, being around the word of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. All these things prepare you as you go out into the field. Now, what's your field? Wherever you go tomorrow morning, that's your field. Let me back up. On a normal Monday, you know, I don't know what tomorrow looks like for you. But preparation is important. Then sowing, you actually have to put in something. What seeds are you sowing? Ask yourself this tomorrow when you go to your campus or when you get back to normal, right? When we're out of this timeout. Ask yourself, when I walk into my field, what seeds do I sow? What seeds am I sowing? When people see me and people interact with me and people work alongside of me, what seeds am I sowing into my field? And then there's a time of watering. That's called batting for average. Listen, you have to be consistently tending this thing, right? You have to watch out for it and take good care of it and protect it and pull the weeds. And is there anybody else in here, if you'll mow the lawn and you look out there and there's one weed, you got to walk out there and pluck that one weed? Amen, brother, right? Can't leave it. Can't. Now, I don't get scissors, but that's got to go. Absolutely. Here's an interesting thing. The next to last thing you get to do is harvest. Think about a fruit tree. You prepare the soil. You sow the seed. You water the seed. You tend the seed. The tree begins to bud. It grows. You know what the last thing on that tree is the fruit. Have you ever thought about that? All the work's done before the fruit comes out. You see why it's hard to be a pastor? But the harvesting's sweet, isn't it? It's good. It's good. And then there's a time of resting. Now we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Because a thing, an object tends to what? Remain, I'm sorry. An object at rest tends to what? Remain at rest. We have to be very careful. But there is a time for resting. Look what Galatians tells us. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Listen, God wants us active, and He wants us proactive, But God doesn't want us to burn out. We try to be very attentive to that, don't we, Josh? Because you know what? Good intentions, we don't want you to burn out, right? We want you to be proactive. We want you to work hard. We want you to burn out. Now let's look at the products of the harvest. We begin to prosper spiritually and financially. If you sow into God's work in spiritualness, then you know what? The first thing that you get is a spiritual harvest. It blesses your soul. It grows you spiritually. And you know what? If you're sowing and you're being more intentional and you're being more a better steward, you just might see a financial increase, right? It can happen. We provide for those in need. Not just those in need here, but those in need out there. When we sow into the lives of others, we can meet the needs of other people. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To be able to meet the needs. We provoke thanksgiving. I don't know why it says thanksgivings. We provoke thanksgiving to the Lord. By who? Well, first, by us. God, thank you that I can actually do this. And by the receiver of the blessing, God, thank you so much. Have you ever had someone go, well, I had no idea how I was going to be able to do X. And boom, here you are. You are the glove on which the hand of God rests. That's awesome. It is almost self-serving. It's so awesome. And it'll also promote prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God. God, am I supposed to be your hand in this? Because you know what? Sometimes God says no, right? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God said no. But we got to talk to the Lord. And when we are sowing into his righteousness, we talk to the Lord and we give him thanks. And then that person's talking to the Lord. They're giving the Lord thanks. We're building and we're promoting this communication. It's spectacular. We purchase a greater opportunity to give. Look what Matthew 25 says. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Listen, when we're faithful and righteous sowing in little things, God will increase our influence. God will increase the field we get to minister to. God will increase what we're able to do in that field. Some people want the increase without the work. Some people don't get the increase because they're not prepared for the field. Remember what I said? God will never waste, right? He will not give us what we're not prepared to handle. But we can grow what we're able to do. The perfect example of God's harvest love, for God so loved the world that he gave his, how many? One kernel surrendered and sown. One son surrendered and sown. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Our perfect example is the Lord himself. For the Lord God sowed his son. He prepared him. He sowed him, literally put him in the ground. And then harvested him in order that salvation would be possible for you and I. Amen? Not just for you and I, but for anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. One son sown and surrendered makes salvation possible for every human being. The power of one who is surrendered and sown. Oh. Ephesians 1:4 says this, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. When God knew whether you would be saved or not? Before the foundations of the world. You say, well, Jimmy, then why should I bother spreading the gospel? Because you and I don't know who will and who won't. I think that's a poor man's excuse not to share the gospel, quite truthfully. Because I'm part of the whosoever will. Week before last, I had the privilege of serving with Dr. Davidson, Dewey Davidson. He was the pastor that I was saved under. You like that kind of, I was saved under. And as we were riding from the funeral home to the cemetery, I rode with him. I said, Dewey, I said, can I ride with you to the cemetery? He goes, yeah. I said, can you drive good? He goes, kind of. I said, well, I live by faith. So we're driving, and I said, Dewey, I said, listen, all kidding aside, I said, thank you. Thank you for being faithful to what God called you to do. Because if it weren't for that January morning that that man spent preparing for that message, not only preparation, but showing up, this harvest soul might not be here. But he showed up and God showed out and here we are. What can one person do? Well, my friends, if you whatever you think of me, one person did. That morning. Now, there was a lot of preparation. There was a lot of watering. There was a lot that went into it. I'm not discounting all those things before, but there's only one harvest. And by the grace of God, one man faithful to one God saved one soul that morning. As best I recall, I was the only one. That's why Dewey kept that invitation going so long. It was just me. So how do I know this promise is for me? You might be here today, or you might be with us by the video cast, or you might be listening to this on our podcast somewhere in the world, and you ask yourself this question, well, then how can I know this harvest is for me? How can I know that Jesus was born, died, and rose again for me? Well, let me take you to the Word of God. Romans 10:13 says this, for everyone, let's say everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. Who's everyone? What's everyone? A Muslim? Yep. A Buddhist? Yep. A Hindu? Yep. Chinese, Japanese? Yep. Whosoever. And that whosoever includes me. Amen. Let's look also at Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace have you been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. There's going to be no braggarts in heaven. Because we're all there because of Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith. So my friends, stewardship is a matter of sowing. Stewardship is a matter of sowing. What are we sowing? Are we sowing all that the Lord has entrusted to us? Are we sowing that into the fields that He gives us? Sometimes it's a small field for a short period of time. Sometimes it's a large field for a long period of time. Sometimes they transition. You know what? Sometimes this field goes inactive and you go to another field. Are we sowing all that the Lord has put into us? See, our growing in our commitment comes by what we're rooted in. Like we prayed earlier, we walk by faith and not by sight. We sow by faith because God has promised if you sow, there'll be a harvest. That's His promise to us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. And I just want to ask you very quickly, have you ever partaken in the harvest that is Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Has there been a time and a place where your heart and you cried out to the Lord, God, save me from my sins. God, save me into a relationship with you. God, save me from the penalty of hell to the promise of heaven. If you haven't, my friend, today is the greatest day of your life in which to do that. From your heart to God's ear, just say, God, save me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Help me to know you and to love you. And if that's you today, my friend, I'd love to talk to you about that. I invite you to share that with me or someone that you're here with. If you're with us by the live cast, you can share that with me. You can message that to me. You can put it right there in the comments right now. We want to help you grow in this commitment. You are not the same as you were before, if that is your heart's cry and your soul's desire. For the rest of us that have been walking with the Lord, including myself, can we ask the question, are we sowing everything that God has entrusted us? And if not, can we recommit to that? Can we say, Lord, just increase our fields. Lord, increase our seed. Lord, increase our harvest. Father, I pray for us, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful sowers. Lord, the good news is that Jesus saves. The good news is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, the good news is that God has a purpose and a promise for this life. And the good news is one day heaven. Father, let us plant that good seed everywhere we go. And Lord, let us be the privileged benefactors of your harvest. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word in my life. I thank you for the truth of your word in the lives of your people. And Father, I pray that in soon time we will see a tremendous harvest as we refocus to being sowers of all that you entrust us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.